Certainly with a subject this dense, we understand the sentiment. But we thank Billy for his excellent presentation dealing with these issues regarding civil government. It's very good. Now, as we open it up, of course, as we all know from this last year and the last voting cycle and everything of this nature, just a general reminder, let's be sure that we keep things in a civil and a polite manner, and that we don't lose our cool over any of these things. And let's also not try to get into policy. I'm sure Billy doesn't want to talk about anything regarding that. Let's try to keep it regarding the Bible.
Now, we're not going to get into a political discussion. And remember, I guess this will be listened to on the internet. So we need to keep that under consideration.
Exactly. So we'll open it up to questions. Alan Bonifay, have the first question.
Where is Alan? There he is.
I thought that was great, Billy. I appreciate it. And I appreciated your last point. And I'd just like to say that I do think that Christians are too consumed about politics, and it seems to be something that is increasing in the last few years. And the way to honor the king and not be too involved in politics is keep your head down and do what a Christian's supposed to do and let the men of the world take care of the world. But I do want to add something to what you said. I think it was the next to last question about, could you work for the government in some function like a teacher or whatever?
Yeah.
And I think what you said was right, but I think a passage that helps with that is if you back up from Romans 13 and 1 to chapter 12 and verse 19, actually, this is an unfortunate chapter division right here. Verse 19 says, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." Then he says, "If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If you're thirsty, give him a drink. For so doing, you'll heap coals of fire on his head." Do not be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, Christians are not to take vengeance. It belongs to God. Now, we usually think of God taking vengeance on the day of judgment, and that is certainly true. But God also uses the civil ruler as his minister of vengeance. And that's what the very next paragraph says. And so I think what is prohibited is Christians being involved in any form of government that is a vengeance-taking arm of the government. So the military, the police, the judicial branch, executive, legislative, I think even being on a jury. You're not in a position to sentence someone one way or the other. And Christians should not be a part of any vengeance-taking arm of the government. Now, if you can teach a school, if you can build a building, if you can work as a cook or a clerk of some kind, sure, I think that's fine.
Right. Yeah, I don't believe a Christian can be a punitive agent of the government. That's, you know, Jesus said, I've gone blank here, which I do here recently. He said, "Let the dead bury the dead." In other words, the ideal is the world is going to do what the world does, and we as Christians do what we do. And they're going to take care of some matters. I had a fellow tell me one time, he said, if someone was breaking into your house and you called the police, and the police came over there and killed him, it'd be your fault. I said, no. That's absolutely not true. I did what I was supposed to do. That's his job. That's his job as a policeman, to protect me or any other innocent person. So God uses people of the world to do what people of the world do. And as I tried to explain, really that's the purpose of civil government. It's to protect the innocent, but it's also to protect to punish the wicked, and that would be both nations, like God did in the Old Testament, as well as individuals. And of course here, where you read here in Romans 12, Paul said, give place unto wrath. What that means is turn it over to God. Don't you take it on yourself to do it, but let God take care of it, and God in his own sweet time will deal with that person. They'll get what's coming to them, maybe in the day of judgment, It may come before that. But that's not the job of a Christian. Absolutely not.
Great job, Billy. I enjoyed that.
Thank you.
This is a question that an issue I've kind of, struggled with for a while. Obviously, as Christians, we have an imperative to obey laws and authorities, unquestionably. And is there a stratification of laws, as in the most petty? So, like, a speed limit. And we toss this around sometimes. Yeah. But, what are your thoughts on that? Or jaywalking, is it a sin for a Christian to go 2 miles over the speed limit?
Well, that was the, I don't know why I closed my booklet up, but anyway, that was one of the questions. Must we obey laws that it seems like the government itself does not intend to enforce? And I was told, they said, call Clint DeFrance. He came up with that question, and he'll tell you what is meant by that. Well, I talked to Clint last week, and he specifically talked about, what about speeding? Is it a sin to speed under all circumstances and so on and so forth? Well, we're to obey the laws of the land. But we understand we're all human. We understand sometimes we get over the speed limit because we're not paying attention. I'll look down and maybe I'm going close to 80, but what do? I say, oh man, I'll go even 90. Simply because of the need for speed, as they say. No. What I do is I get back down, and I try my best to follow the speed limit. And I think that should be our attitude. We're not to be a lawless people, that's not what we're about. And of course we understand there are circumstances, and I think even the law would recognize this. If I'm needing to get you to the hospital, I may drive as fast as I can safely to get you there. We understand that. So, one of the things I was going to bring up is every year in my yard, I haven't seen one yet, there's a black snake. And I don't like snakes. Maybe I shouldn't admit this on the internet, but I've killed a few black snakes in my backyard. Well, someone told me that's against the law in Missouri, and I looked it up on the internet. And on the internet, it said that snakes and lizards and some turtles, this is the way it put it, there's no hunting season for them. And so you have no right to kill them. Well, first of all, a black snake is not poisonous. Not only that, but they eat rodents and that kind of thing. So the next time I see a black snake, I'm going to try my best not to kill it. Because that's the law. Now, I'll be honest with you. If it gets in my garage or gets in my house, undoubtedly I have the right to kill that. But it did go on to say, and this was good news to me, that if it's a poisonous snake in Missouri and you're in danger of it biting someone, you do have the right to kill that. So, we have to weigh these kind of things. But the bottom line is we want to obey the laws of the land. Maybe there are circumstances where some things come up and, we are human and we understand that. But we're not to be a lawless people. If it doesn't violate the law of God, we should do our best to comply to it. I hope that answered your question.
Aaron Boone.
Thank you. I really appreciated it.
Thank you.
The question is kind of what you talked on at the end near with Daniel, and you talked about Joseph. We see Esther also in positions of authority, not necessarily her fault.
Yeah.
What example do those offer us in the New Testament? Isaiah 2 talks about how the Christian age is a different age. We have a different rule for us. So what example do those individuals offer us in the New Testament of positions of authority, if any at all?
Well, Gord, here's the problem. Like in Romans 16:23, Paul writes, a man by the name of Erastus, who was the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you. And of course, what that means is, chamberlain meant he was a public treasurer. And so there are people who say, well, he was a public treasurer at Corinth. Now, if you could prove that to everyone's satisfaction, you'd have the perfect argument. But of course, David Lipsigan says, well, he had been that public official, but he was retired. And he goes through a great explanation. You need to read it for yourself. How that this man, Erastus, was a traveling companion with the Apostle Paul, if it was the same one. Now, there's even disagreement about that. But he would have been gone more than 2 years. And so what he says is, it's like maybe somebody is interviewing President Clinton. He's not the president anymore, but they call him President Clinton. So you have situation, you know, like the Ethiopian eunuch was the treasurer of Queen Candace right there in Ethiopia. Did he have to resign being treasurer? Some people would say, I'm not convinced that he did. Maybe he did. I don't know. But and is there anything immoral with being a treasurer, keeping up with the money? You know, so you have these issues, and sometimes there's no definitive answer, at least not for everybody. So, and that just kind of compounds the problem, really.
So you mentioned the idea of the government, if they enact a law that forbids or is a sin, that Christians don't obey it, which is true enough. But if it's not a command to do something that's sinful, we should obey it, which is true enough. So how does that relate to where God has given jurisdiction to other authorities? So for example, if the government were for some reason to say in your worship service you could only sing three songs, and that's it, for whatever reason. So that wouldn't be a sin to only sing three songs. But the fact that God has given what we do in the kingdom and in the church jurisdiction to us, how does that relate to that command? Do they have the jurisdiction?
Not over God, they don't.
Right.
I don't, you know, they can tell us whatever they want to tell us about the assembly, but I think we obey the scriptures.
You know. So in other words, if we have this command where
they tell me you can only preach 10 minutes.
Right.
Well, I'm sorry, but I'm probably going to preach longer than 10 minutes because, yeah. You know.
So in other words, it's a matter of jurisdiction where they don't have the jurisdiction of the kingdom.
Really, the statement is about jurisdiction, isn't it? We're to obey the laws of the land unless it violates the law of God. God's jurisdiction is over theirs. So yeah, it's about jurisdiction, yeah. You know, that's all right.
Just to add to that, I think what Brother Richards is saying is right, and what you said is right. But the Supreme Court, there was a case before the Supreme Court just recently about assembling in California and restricting assemblies. And the Supreme Court ruled in that the government does not have the right to interfere with church assembly.
Right. Yeah, it's a violation of our constitutional rights, I'm sure. You know, let me mention about the Apostle Paul. Now, Paul said he was a Roman. In fact, over there in Acts 16, and then later when the centurion, he asked him, he said, are you a Roman? And he said, yea, I am. He was a Roman citizen. And so, but I don't think that was a political statement. That was really a statement of legality. He was a Roman citizen, and he used his citizenship really for the furtherance of the gospel. You know, over there when they beat him there in Acts 16, and then they found out he was a Roman citizen, they wanted him to leave in private. Paul said, no, they beat us openly. They violated our rights. Let them come get us. Now, I think the reason Paul did that was he wanted the people to know we weren't beaten because we were criminals. We didn't do anything wrong. So they went down there and they let Paul out and they begged them to leave. So if, let's just say the authorities showed up tonight and they came through these doors and they said, you know what? You're in violation of the law and you're going to disband. And if you don't, we're taking you all to jail. I think we could say, look, we're Americans. We are citizens of this country. We have a constitutional right to worship God. And I think that's exactly right. That's what the Apostle Paul did.
Have time maybe for one more question if it's out there.
Aaron Boone for the last question.
To build off what AK said, and I'm struggling with something, so help me is what I'm asking. In Matthew 23, Jesus gives the rebuke to the scribes and Pharisees that They focused on tithing, and they didn't do the weightier matters, love, justice, and mercy. They should have done both. So in the context of what AK asked, if the government says you can lead three songs, but not four, and we're commanded to obey the commandments of God, we can do both. We can obey God's commandments of singing and obey the laws of the land and do three songs. Shouldn't that be what we do? What are your thoughts?
I don't know. I'd have to think about that, you know. But I think, you know, during this pandemic, I can speak for us. I can't speak for y'all, but we did have, there was about a month where we worshiped in our home. You know, the congregation did. They playing. The congregation worshiped in our home, and it was a shorter service. You know, it was. And probably that's true in a lot of other places. You know, just because we needed, you know, we worship God, and we were in this circumstance. So I think you could take that into account. But I don't like the idea of the government telling us what to do when it comes to worship. I don't think that's their purview, you know. And I don't think if we decide we want to lead four songs, I don't think God's going to hold that against us. Now, that's my thing, so I might have to change my mind about that. But
brother, do you have any closing comments or things you want to say?
No, just appreciate this congregation as always. I always say this is one of the most hospitable congregations I know anywhere, and take on a work like this is stupendous. And I just thank you again for this opportunity, and I wish I could have done it within the confines of the time, but I couldn't. So anyway, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Billy. We really appreciate it.